Now, I love that word, together. And in Ephesians chapter 2, we're going to see that it occurs over this idea of this unity. This is what the Spirit of God has done. Before you ever get to Ephesians chapter 4, where he tells us to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, before you ever get to there, we have chapter 2 that sets before us what the Spirit of God has done, and what the Lord Jesus Christ has done, what God the Father has done. In Ephesians chapter 2, you have the first 8 verses that tell you what God the Father has done. Then the next few verses tell you what God the Son has done. And the last few verses of the chapter tells you what God the Spirit is doing. And so it's a beautiful outline to see. But what we want to see is that whether it's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, God, through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, has broken down that middle wall of division, and out of the two, Jew and Gentile, he's made one. And that's what it means to be in Christ. Okay? And so that gets us started then as we begin to think about this. And John's Gospel chapter 1 tells us this in verses 12 to 13. But as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of man, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And so this is a work that God has done. Now I set all this as the background to this manner of being in Christ, to see what God has accomplished and what God has done. And that's really the foundation as we begin to think about this. To be in Christ has a twofold meaning that we're going to try to elaborate a little bit. Being in Christ, first, it means to be partakers of his death. To be partakers of his death. For that, we could turn to Romans chapter 6. I'm not going to have us read those verses, but just to refer to them, we might in discussion might want to come back to them. But Romans chapter 6 verses 3 to 5, I've already referred to them, but I just want to mention them. To be partakers of his death, burial, and resurrection. Okay? And Colossians reminds us of this. Since you've been raised with Christ. And that's our association with Christ. Being in Christ has to do with our position. Whenever you read the words in Christ, as we're going to read them in a moment, we see position, position, position. And everything in the Christian life springs from the position that you're in. And then with Christ means association, association. All right. So when we think of that then, first, partakers of his death, burial, resurrection, being partakers. This one will blow you away. Being partakers of his divine nature. I struggled with that for years. I'll be honest. To think that I'm a partaker of his divine nature. If you need a scripture for that, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. We are partakers. So we identify with the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. That's what in Christ means. And secondly, we have a divine nature that we've been given. We're joint heirs with Christ. Tremendous. And then we would also say that he's placed us in the body. And we've already mentioned that. So this little phrase, in Christ, contains some of the most important doctrinal truths. And we're going to see that. And you're going to help us see that. Okay? So we're going to look up some verses. And I want you to read them, and then I want us to discuss them, not us, but us, okay? I want to get your participation and to discuss the meaning of each one of these verses, what you think they mean when we consider the subject of being in Christ. For example, Colossians chapter 1, verse 14. Colossians chapter 1, verse 14.
In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins.
Okay? So what does that mean? Let's elaborate on that. And this is not just for Alex, but everyone. Let's discuss it. What is this verse telling us? I've got about 15 of them, so we have to make this quick. Go ahead, Alex.
All right. This verse tells us that Christ has forgiven us our sins through the power of his blood, that we are no longer under sin, under that yoke anymore. We are completely forgiven, and in the eyes of God, we are perfect.
So how does that help us? What's the dynamic truth there? I mean, that is dynamic in itself. But let's elaborate. Nobody wants to make eye contact with me.
Can I just clarify the question? Are you asking us, what does it mean to us as believers that we have the forgiveness of sins and we have redemption? What is the impact of that? Mm-hmm.
It says, in Christ. In Christ we are forgiven.
Nothing we do caused that forgiveness. The only way we can stand before a holy God is in Christ because of his redemption through his blood.
Mm-hmm. Somebody was going to say something over here.
Yeah, go ahead.
I don't know, but it seems to me that it means that as I am in Christ, God is only seeing Christ in me.
Amen.
So it means that because I have the identification with him, like we see in Romans 6, and that I'm die and I live in him, so I can understand why I'm perfect. And it's the end. The following verses that says that I don't know how it's in English, but it cannot judge me. I'm perfect because mm-hmm. I am mm-hmm. in Christ. It helps to understand that God sees Christ when he sees me.
Amen. Amen. And that's really important, and it overflows. It goes beyond this, our subject here. But when I realize I'm in Christ, in Christ I am forgiven, then that's a beautiful thing because it covers every area of my life and all the things I've done that the enemy wants to bring to my mind, and the enemy wants to work here and say, well, you're a Christian and you think that, you're a Christian, you've done that. Past, present, future, my sins were forgiven in Christ. You see the effect of that? So when the enemy comes and brings this, I just have to remember I'm in Christ. And as such, I've been forgiven. Brother and Sam?
If I could interject. To bring that to the subject of unity, if God looks at us and sees Christ, then shouldn't we be able to look at each other and see Christ? Mm-hmm. If Christ is in me and Christ is in you, then of course there should be unity there because we're the same.
Excellent point.
Mm-hmm. The only thing I was going to add is, when I read this verse, it says, in whom, obviously it's in Christ, mm-hmm. we have redemption. That is something that we have now. You know, in other things in Scripture, there are things that we are looking forward to in the future. But this is, we have redemption. We have it right now. The redemption of our souls, we have right now.
Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12 and 13. Ephesians 2, 12 and 13.
That at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ.
Very good. So what can we gather from this verse as far as our position in Christ? We saw in the last verse our position in Christ was forgiveness, redemption, and forgiveness of sin.